This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, you have made it to the end of the week. I want to congratulate you because it has been a long one and we are going to have a great time tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Of course, it's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Questions on everything from Biden's disregard for the Constitution. Why didn't we have all these nationwide injunctions? We're going to talk about another corporation going down because it allowed the fox into the hen house, Jaguar. The Obama administration manufacturing intelligence, which you already knew about in 2016. All that, animal fights, alcoholism, history. There's so many questions on everything. I don't know how I'm going to get to it all. So let us begin tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I'm going to start out actually with a question tonight. I'm not going to start out with that Wall Street Journal Epstein thing. I'll get to that in a few minutes. I'm not spending any time on that tonight. I told you it was coming. I called that one. It came. It's going to pass. Let's start out with this one. Hey, Beaver Hunter Master, why did Republicans not seek an injunction against Biden's blatant disregard for ignoring federal law to enforce border laws? Okay. Let's get this out of the way right off the bat. There were some injunctions against Joe Biden. There were injunctions really against every president have been. What has happened against Donald Trump is way outside of the norm. Way outside of the norm. Injunction after injunction. Huge injunctions too. Not just stopping this little thing or that thing. Essentially trying to take over the power of the presidency. Okay, so why didn't we do that? There are two reasons why we didn't do that. The first is the most important by a mile. Democrats, communists, they're naturally going to be better at government, better at political power, seizing it, using it, than anybody on the right, wherever you are on the right, whatever you consider yourself to be. And that's just simply a matter of interest and love. Were you into sports? Did you play a sport? Did you ever love a sport? Or did you know someone who did? Of course you did. You know somebody. Well, who's better at basketball in your family? Your brother who loves basketball, watches basketball, every chance he gets, he runs out and grabs a ball and plays with his friends? Or you who doesn't really care for it at all? It's an obvious point, but your brother is. We on the right, the only reason you would consider yourself on the right is you believe in freedom. In essence, that's what you believe. You believe in morality and freedom and patriotism, of course, all those things. But essentially, to be on the right means you believe you should be free. Free from government coercion. Free from the government telling you what you can say, what you can own, what you can do. You believe in freedom, that concept of it. So because you believe in freedom, and because government is really the polar opposite of freedom, it's the enemy of freedom, if we're being honest, as George Washington basically called it, you are not going to be as good, as proficient, as grabbing government power and using government power as the communists are. They love government. Because they understand government is force. They want force, remember. The whole idea behind it is force. Force your sick demonic belief system onto a society, whether or not they want it. Actually, in my hometown, one of my hometowns, I have a story about this I just found out about yesterday. In Bozeman, Montana, you know, that's where I grew up. Bozeman, Montana. I graduated high school from Bozeman, Montana. Well, I moved there when I was 10, and I graduated from there. Still have family up there. My mom's up there. In Bozeman, Montana, my sister was talking to me about this. The commission, the city commission, they just passed that the pride flag will be part of Bozeman's flag. So now Bozeman, you know, every city has a flag of some kind. It'll have the Bozeman flag and the flag and the pride flag on every flagpole. Now, Bozeman is certainly not far to the right. Not at all. Montana is, but Bozeman isn't. But it's not that. There was a meeting in the city, and it was universal outrage over this. Even people who are okay with all the LGBTQ stuff said, why does that have to be on our city flag? That's dumb. What are we doing? It makes us look like quacks. What is going on here? Almost universal outrage. People brought other flags. Well, fly my flag then. But city commission didn't care. They essentially laughed off all the anger, all the people who showed up, and said, well, too bad, so sad. We're the commission. We get to decide. It wasn't put up for a popular vote. Bye-bye. What happened? Well, what happened was the communists saw a choke point of power. You didn't see that choke point in your city, in your library, in your water board, in your city. You weren't looking for it. I'm not even mad at you. I'm not mad at me. You didn't see that. You didn't know about it. What commission? I didn't even know we had a commission. I don't understand. You're busy. You have a life. You have a wife, husband, kids, girlfriend, boyfriend, a job. You have passions. You have things you're interested in that are way outside of government. Government power, seizing it and using it, does not occupy your mind. It's not a passion of yours. And so just like your brother who played basketball and you didn't, he's good at it and you're not. They don't have anything else. They are constantly seeking out a way to push the revolution forward. How's this pertain to judges? When Democrats get in office, they are not out there trying to put a constitutionalist as a judge anywhere, in any one of these district courts, anywhere else. They're not looking for anything like that at all. They are hand-selecting communist warriors, oftentimes foreigners, I might point out, they are hand-selecting communist warriors and installing them in every single court system in this country. Can you even name the different court systems, the court hierarchy, if the Supreme Court's on top? Can you name the ones below? I do this for a living. I talk for 4 hours a day, and I can't either, so don't feel stupid. I guarantee you the communists can. They know each and every nook and cranny. Oh, that's a choke point of power. That's a choke point of power. Let's grab it. Let's grab it. Let's grab it. We focus on big, sexy elections because government's not a passion of ours. So when Donald Trump runs every 4 years, we got all excited and we pull out the MAGA hats and we go to the rallies and Donald Trump's going to come save us. But today, I'll tell you what, today, what is the date? July 18th. I know because it's 2 days before my 44th birthday and we're not going to talk about that on the show. Let me ask you something, honestly. Politically, in your town or your county, what are you hot on today? What are you an activist about today in your community? I bet it's nothing. I'm not pointing a finger at you. I haven't found something locally. Did you know that the communist who lives across the street from you, they're passionate about something. They're working towards something. Democrats were able to put all these nationwide injunctions in because they don't have off days. They don't have hobbies. They don't have other things that distract them. They have a religion. They are devoutly religious. They are committed to that religion all the way. And when they wake up in the morning and when they lay down at night, they are thinking about taking more power so they can use power. Do you have any earthly idea how many local positions, no matter where you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, rural, urban, do you have any idea how many local positions you could win or a friend could? Some of these positions, most of these ones, people run unopposed. Did you know that? Unopposed. There'll just be some commie who says, I'm going to run. No one else runs. Up. Look who's got the power. They approach every single level of government that way. They have more communist judges than we have activist judges. And they did that on purpose. They're always, always, always seeking to remove what they want from the will of the people. And there's no better way to do that than judges. They knew it in the Soviet Union. They've known it everywhere. You seize the bench. You seize the legal profession. And once you have that, I mean, not to sound like Judge Dredd, but you are the law. I'm going to tell you this. It's probably going to make you mad if you actually look this up, but these horrible judges usually have to go through confirmation in the Senate, depending on where they are. Next time one of these judges makes you mad, some injunction thing, go look at their confirmation. Which Republicans voted for them? Which Republicans didn't even show up for the vote? Let's move on. We'll do some other stuff. Let's save a baby. Laws will not save these babies in this country. They won't. We've done that. Ever since Roe versus Wade's been overturned, we've been passing these pro-life laws, and I support that, right? That sounds good, but that does not save babies. Abortions are up, not down. Changing hearts, that's what saves babies. How do you change hearts? Introduce that young mother to her baby. Ultrasound. Give a free ultrasound to a woman who's about to abort her baby. That's what preborn does. They find that confused, scared young lady who's about to kill her baby, and they give her a free ultrasound. And care afterwards if she needs it. You want to help them? $28 buys the ultrasound. Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. Oh, my goodness. I'm so happy to be here. Okay, one more. I want to wrap this up with one more point, which we were just talking about. I said there were two reasons, and I outlined how they're more passionate about government, and that's why they end up occupying more judicial positions, putting them in position to do more nationwide injunctions. We don't do that. We got that part. Let's get that out of the way. Second part is our judges are often not partisans. And maybe that's what you like. Or maybe you like to say you like that. But remember, if there are five judges on one side and five judges on the other side, and the five judges on the left view themselves as tip-of-the-spear communist warriors, and the five judges on the right view themselves as, well, I'm going to be a strict constitutionalist, and I just want to make sure we're following the letter of the law. And look, I'm not criticizing that. I wish every judge was that way, but we're going to lose that fight. If they are committed to fighting, and we just want to do things the right way, we will lose. We're too nice. Now, final point on this. Jewish producer Chris brought this up during the break. Maybe when I brought up all the local positions you could possibly run for or encourage someone else to run for, maybe you're wondering where to go and how to even find that. Your city has a website. You know that. Your county has a website. Large and small, they all have it. And I almost guarantee you job openings are sitting right there. And maybe you're thinking, I don't want to run for office. You know a lot of these positions? They're just appointees. They're waiting for someone to volunteer. They're waiting for someone to show up. Hey, I'd love to be on this special commission for the 4th of July parade next year. Oh, good. I'm glad you showed up. We haven't had anyone show up yet. Congratulations. You're on the committee. Just go look. All right. You may remember I made a little bit of a prediction. This is the only time, unless your questions start digging through it, this is the only time we're going to address this. My prediction, this is from Wednesday, was this. This source is someone who would know. And the term he used was tripwires. I'm asking, hey, what about this at the FBI? What about that? I asked about the Epstein files. What about that? I'm trying to get information so I can bring it to you. And he told me, Jesse, while they were waiting for Trump to take over, they were putting tripwires up everywhere. Laying mines everywhere, just like I told you they were. They weren't sitting around waiting. Remember, these people declared war on Donald Trump for 4 years when he was president. It was a deep state that got him impeached twice. We even had the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, CIA directors. They all declared war on Trump. And then somebody tried to murder Donald Trump, arrested him, tried to throw him in prison. But then he wins an election. What do you do if you're part of an agency that's been trying to destroy a powerful man. You even got him out of power. And then you wake up one morning and you get the memo that he's coming back to power. What do? You make preparation. I believe there were edits, tripwires, if you will, before Donald Trump, Cash Patel, Pam Bondi could even step in there. I believe the Department of Justice, the FBI, they know this, of course, because they do have the files, and I believe they've told him this. He's lashing out. He's calling everybody who cares about this stupid. You're falling for a Democrat hoax. I think he knows that, yes, the communists, that they made additions to these files, additions that will make him look bad. And I think that's why he's taken the very bizarre stance of, you shouldn't talk about this anymore. Shut up, you idiot. Let's talk about something else. I think he's prepping the ground. And let me make a prediction, one that I pray to God doesn't come true, because I hope my entire theory is wrong. I think the information is going to leak. And I think he knows this information is going to leak. And that's why he has spent the last week or two telling you this is made up. This is incredible. He keeps using that term credible. This is made up. It's a hoax. It was James Comey. It was Obama. It was a hoax. It's a hoax. It's a hoax. I don't think Donald Trump did anything wrong with Jeffrey Epstein. I do believe he's in the files now. That brings me, of course, to, well, this email. Hey, Jesse, you were right again. The Wall Street Journal article linking Trump and Epstein is so laughably fake, however, that even Democrats don't believe it. But my favorite part of this email is a subject that says, you were right again. Didn't I tell you that Trump knew a leak was coming? And that's exactly why you've been subjected to a week of this. This was Trump preparing you for that garbage Wall Street Journal letter. It is laughable. There's no way. Trump doesn't even talk like that. But why? Why would he all of a sudden start taking this stance?
Can you say why there was a minute missing from the jailhouse tape on the night of the set?
Yeah, sure.
Could I just interrupt for a second? Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years. You're asking, we have Texas, we have this, we have all of the things. Yeah. And are people still talking about this guy, this creep? That is unbelievable. Do you want to waste the time and do you feel like answering?
I don't mind answering.
I mean, I can't believe you're asking a question on Epstein at a time like this where we're having some of the greatest success and also tragedy with what happened in Texas. It just seems like a desecration, but you go ahead.
He knew. He has sources, of course, better sources than all of us. He knew something was in there. He, of course, knew that someone was going to leak something to the media. He knew it was coming out, and that's why he spent a week prepping the ground. He's not dumb. He knew that wasn't going to land well. Shut up about it. Move on. Shut up. Move on. It's a hoax. Shut up. Move on. It's over. He knew that was unpopular. He made the calculation, probably a smart calculation, that it was worth taking an unpopular stance for a week in order to prep the ground for the bogus crap story they were going to leak out. And it happened just like I said it was going to happen. Isn't that right, Chris? Chris, why are you making that face? Aren't you honored to be here? To be able to... Don't shake your head, Chris. That's mean. That's mean. Let me help you out with something. Maybe you're in pain. You need relief factor. That can be the only explanation for why you're not jumping up and down cheering that the old Oracle called it yet again. I bet it's knee pain, isn't it, Chris? Listen, Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It is a supplement developed by doctors, Chris. I mean, honestly, probably some of yours. But it's 100% drug-free. A supplement you take every single day attacking the root of the problem. Not masking up the pain in your life. The root of it, the inflammation. Try it for 3 weeks. All I'm asking is 3 weeks. Chris, $19.95. Even you will pay that to be pain-free. $19.95 gets you 3 weeks of it. Just try it. Almost everyone calls to order more. There's a reason. 1-800-4-RELIEF, or you can go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Don't forget, you can still email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We're live here. Hey, Jesse, I listen to the show every day on iHeart, and then I like to sometimes tune into the first right after. My question is, how do you get off the Jesse Kelly Show and over to the first so quickly? Is the first at the Jesse Kelly Show station? By the time I get to the remote, your face is already on the TV. Okay, so you know I do a TV show every weeknight too, right after the radio show. It's on the first. It's pretty incredible, I have to be honest with you. But what, Chris? Why? How can I get there so quickly? It's not just in the same location. It's on the same desk. If you watch, like if you're watching me on do radio, or you've ever seen a clip of me doing radio, I will slide 90 degrees around the table. It's just a separate chair. I'll just get up and go sit. It's 3 feet away, and that is where I do TV from. And you want to hear the most disappointing thing in the world? I'm going to tell you this, and it's just going to crush your soul. Maybe not crush your soul. That's a little over the top. But when I first saw this, when I first discovered this, I was so disappointed. I was running for Congress. This is the first time I ran and lost for Congress. And I'd never done any of this stuff before and not done any media. Why would I have done media? I was never in politics. And I eventually got invited to New York City because I had to go do a bunch of media up there. And I got invited to be on Hannity's Fox News show. This is years and years and years and years ago. Now, I wasn't some featured guest or something like that. I was one of those panels, you know, those panels where there's four or five people, whatever. It wasn't important. It's not important. But I had only seen television the way you see television. You turn on the TV and it's all these lights and fancy stuff and you think, wow, that's amazing. When I walked in, it was the most disappointing thing in the world to actually see what a studio looks like. All the fancy stuff you see, the lights and the background and the everything, it's only what's on camera that looks that good. Everything else around it is garbage. And our studio's the same way. There are just wires everywhere and cameras everywhere, waste baskets. We have Doritos wrappers. It is a disaster off camera. Everything off camera is so unimpressive. People have asked, hey, you want to do like a giveaway for the studio? You would be so bummed out to tour the studio. Plus, you'd have to meet Chris and Corey, and no one wants that. It's awful. I would say, though, if you showed up in our studio, you would eat really well. We have quite the freezer full of snackies, and we have all kinds of fruit snacks and chips, pistachios, if that's your thing. We're big on nuts here. It's nice. It's really nice to be here. There's even booze here. We don't drink it, but it was for the dignitaries who may come in. Well, I take that back. I'm sure Chris and Corey drink it, given if you judge them by their performance, clearly they drink a lot. But we don't even touch it. But it's here. We'll pour you a drink. Hey, you want some Doritos with that? And I don't want to brag. You don't want to brag and talk down to people, but we have a vending machine too. Not a bad one. One of those universal vending machines that has chips and candy bars and sodas. Not bad, right? Now, I should be clear. It's not our vending machine. It's the whole building, but we go down and use it, so it's kind of like ours. Hey, Jesse, I love the show. Oh, boy. Why not look into Epstein's bank records? That's the list. It seems simple. All right. Let me do this again. And I'm not frustrated. I just want to make sure we are all being clear about this, because in this social media age, everyone's chasing a headline or a click or something. So let's be adults at all times. Check his bank records. Jeffrey Epstein was a billionaire international financier for 50 years. Jeffrey Epstein did business with a lot of people who didn't do anything wrong. The The head of the Gambino family, whoever that is right now, please don't come hunt me down, whoever you are. But the head of the Gambino family, whoever that is right now, do you think everybody he deals with, everyone who he travels with, dines with, do you think they're all criminals? No. If you look at his bank records, I'm sure, by the way, I'm sure there are some criminals in there. I'm not saying that, but you can't just release the bank records and, hey, look at Chris. Chris did a real estate deal with Epstein back in 2005. Okay, well, it may have just been a real estate deal. Even the flight logs themselves, as I've explained, the flight logs, by the way, are public. Those are public. You can go look at them. They're already out there. I think there are some redactions, but for the most part, they're public. You have all kinds of names, celebrities and things like that. And are there some dirt balls on there, criminals? I'm sure. But I don't know who's who, and neither do you. Lots of people fly on private jets. Remember RFK Jr. came out recently because he said he was on one. He said, yeah, me, my wife, and my kids, we hitched a ride on his jet. I forget where he was flying across the country. And Epstein says, hey, you want to fly? And RFK says, yeah, give me a ride. And that's how that works. A bank record doing business with Jeffrey Epstein does not make you a disgusting pedophile. Flying on his jet does not make you a disgusting pedophile. I realize there are lots of people in his orbit who are. Lots who weren't. Just revealing a bank record, a flight log, it doesn't mean what you think it does. You know, we want this whole thing. We want all things, because we're human beings, we want all things to be kind of neat and tidy, don't we? I know I do too. I'm not pointing fingers. I do too. Can't you just give me like a list, like a one-page list, and just tell me who's a criminal and what exactly were their crimes, with locations and dates and everything? It doesn't work that way. Have you ever talked to a cop? Guys who've worked, you know, various cases, detectives for sure. It's hard to try to pull together information from here and information from there and a statement from here and a statement from there. It's hard to prove a criminal case against somebody, no matter who they are, and that's when you have all the information. We're dealing with a situation where I think we have to assume the deep state, whatever portion of it you want, is actively covering up for their involvement in the whole thing, so we're even fighting that. It's hard to put together a case and convict somebody when you're not fighting against that. When you are fighting against that, I don't know that what you want exists or has ever existed. You know, you want it, I want it, neat, tidy, tell me who the scumbags are so we can throw them in prison. I just don't know that that is a thing that exists. I don't. Jesse, I know you were dirt poor and probably couldn't afford an Atari growing up, so I assume your family played board games. What was your favorite? I like playing chess with my dad. You couldn't have beaten him with your tiny monkey brain and hands. Yeah, we're more of a checkers family, the Kellys. Much more of a checkers people. Checkers. I also had probably the ultimate board game ever. It is no longer available for purchase, but I found one on eBay a few years ago. Highly recommend it if you'd like to have the time of your life. Electronic Talking Battleship. You know Battleship. Everyone knows Battleship. Don't roll your eyes, Chris. Everyone knows Battleship. But there was an electronic talking battleship. And when you press the button, it would go, and then when you'd land, it would go, if you got a hit. And then as soon as you ended up sinking it, it would be all, Battleship sunk. And it was the greatest game ever. Why are you laughing, Chris? You don't even know good board games. I don't even want to know what you played. Probably Monopoly, so you could be the banker. Anyway, let's talk about ZipRecruiter. I want to talk about finding good people. It's hard to find good people. In fact, we're about to make fun of Jaguar because they found the wrong people. How do you make sure you find the right people? Or how do you make sure you narrow down when you've found 100 people? That's what ZipRecruiter is here for. If you are an employer, ZipRecruiter takes all the stress, all the fuss, away from finding that next choice employee. And aren't you always looking for that one? The one who's going to make your life easier?
ZipRecruiter has a matching technology, and don't ask me how it works because I asked and they explained it, and now I'm more confused than I was before. All you need to know is you're an employer, you post the job, they will find the good candidates and match you up. That I know. 4 out of 5 employers find somebody on the first day. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. It's so good, and it's so nice to watch communism fail and point and laugh at them. Jaguar, and don't email me and lecture me about how I say Jaguar, Jaguar, or whatever way you fancy college boys say it. I say Jaguar. It's freaking Jaguar. There's a Jaguar on the... Anyway, the car company Jaguar. You know what they're selling. Sports cars to rich dudes. The kind of car you'll never have and I'll never have. Whatever. They're selling sports cars to rich dudes. I imagine they're a lot. Chris, how much are they? Well, I'm sure you've looked up the prices. I know you don't own one, but you don't sit around looking up prices. I figure. Anyway, they're expensive sports cars. You get it. So, Jaguar made a mistake, you see. And the mistake was not the ridiculous, weirdo, extremely gay kind of that they did like a real big gay ad push thing where they had a bunch of lesbians and gay dudes and things like that on there. That wasn't the source of their problems. Oh, that was what caused the latest. They had to cut 500 management jobs because sales are in the toilet. The source of their problems was they didn't mind who they hired. And I'm not going to go off on this because I've done this so many times before. I want to talk about this Obama administration stuff quickly here. But if you are an employer, you had better be so, so careful not to bring communists into your company because they will destroy it. They will use whatever power, whatever resources you have to push their revolution forward, and they will gut your company like a fish. Jaguar was supposed to be selling fast sports cars to rich guys. Instead, they paraded out a bunch of freaks all over their ad campaign. Now nobody wants one anymore, and management is getting laid off en masse. The lesson there is be very, very careful who you bring into your company. Major sports leagues have made this mistake. That's why you had Black Lives Matter all over the NFL, NASCAR, all of them. They don't hire people who know and respect the fan base. They hire this commie activist out of Harvard and that commie activist out of Stanford. And then sooner or later, they look around and they wonder, what in the world happened to us? What happened was you allowed a parasite. In fact, you invited a parasite into your company, and now you're very, very sick and possibly dying. Always be careful who you hire. Now, I want to touch on this. Tulsi Gabbard, you know I'm very hesitant with everybody, especially politicians. You know that about me. I'm very cynical, very hesitant. I have said, and I always will say, all of them are just rental cars, and you should treat them all like rental cars. Use them to get where you want, and as soon as you're done with them, dump them. They'll do the same to you. All of them, even ones you like. And Tulsi Gabbard, I have been very, very suspicious of. She was a lifelong Democrat, got rejected by her party, no question about that, and got rejected for saying some really great things, calling out her party and stuff, so it's not that I disliked her or hated her or thought she was, you know, some kind of evil person. I just never trusted her. I don't trust new people who show up. New people who show up at the camp saying, I want to be on your side now. I'm always a little hesitant with those people. And she has really impressed me. I'll tell you, I thought she was going to get fired when we started bombing Iran because I knew she was going to chafe on that. But we dropped a couple bombs, got out, and I was wrong about that one. That's a prediction I didn't get right. And not only is she still there, well, she declassified documents today. And they're amazing documents. Documents that will make you angry and call for blood. But the documents show that under Barack Obama, his national security team, they essentially cooked the books on intelligence for political purposes. They cooked the books on the Russian collusion stuff. It was not real. It was never real. But the big shots underneath Obama, with Obama's approval, they cooked the books on that stuff. They planted a Democrat talking point in the intelligence community because they all work together. The intelligence community comes out and says Donald Trump is with Russia. Democrats then get to run a years-long campaign of Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia, Trump, Russia. Remember, this intelligence resulted in the Mueller investigation, which handicapped Donald Trump's presidency for the first 2 years and cost him the midterms dearly. Got wiped out in the midterms because of this Mueller thing. And this came not from the Democrat political arm. This came from our intelligence community. What was revealed is not surprising to you. You knew all this. We've talked about this before, but now we have the documents. You can go read. There's obviously a lot of redactions, but you can go read a lot of these documents online. It's frightening. It's angering. But it's laid bare now in front of us. This is what communists do with government power. Communists believe in using government power for themselves. Reward your friends, destroy your enemies, whatever position you happen to take in the government, whether it's the local water board or the director of the CIA, you will use that position for the revolution. You will use it to smash your enemies and reward your friends. And Democrats are disgusting. And of course, this got ramped into overdrive under the top communist, Barack Obama. Barack Obama changed this government, including our intelligence agencies, in ways that we still suffer from today. No more average everyday Democrats or standard bureaucrat people getting put in there. Barack Obama understood something very, very well. This is what makes him so evil. He was so good at it. He understood personnel as policy. No more of these standard Washington bureaucrats. Barack Obama went hunting for revolutionaries. And he found them, and he placed them in critical positions all across our government, many of whom are still there today, and they operate with a vengeance. They believe in using their position of power to smash you. I am not going to sell you a bill of goods and tell you people are going to go to prison for this. I've never seen that yet. The first time it happens, I'll be as surprised as you are, but people should. Not only should people go to prison, entire federal agencies should be eliminated because of this. But not holding my breath. Now, I've told you many times about Byrna, about protecting yourself. I've told you about Byrna's compact launcher. It's the size of a smartphone. I told you it's legal in all 50 states. You don't need a permit. You don't need a background check. But did you know they're manufactured here in the United States of America? Did you know that? Byrna is passionate about America. I have sat down with Brian so many times at Byrna. He's just a wonderful human being. His wife is wonderful. He created this product because he went through something and said, I need something to protect myself so that never happens to me again. Get one of these for your dad, your mom, your daughter. Legal in all 50 states. All 50 states. I don't like guns. Fine. It's not a gun. It shoots tear gas balls. It's not a gun. BYRNA. Byrna.com. Okay? Byrna.com. Let's talk about what Karen Bass said in L.A. The world of lies. And more Ask Dr. Jesse next.